front of you this morning. As you can perhaps imagine, I've been thinking for some time about what messages to bring to you today from the Word of God. Just before we leave, God willing, tomorrow for 6 months to go and work with the church in Australia. Both our morning and evening series came to a conclusion last week, so I didn't have the option of just continuing in either series. And having finished Lamentations last Lord's Day morning, I did want to bring something to you today that would logically follow on from where we left off. That it would tick that box, as it were, logically following on from Lamentations, but also something that would be appropriate for the circumstances we find ourselves in as a congregation. And Jeremiah 29, verse 11, covers both bases, doesn't it? It follows on from Lamentations rather nicely, and it speaks right into our circumstances today. In terms of following on from Lamentations, this chapter of God's Word in Jeremiah, it's a chapter that was written for God's people who were lamenting. They were distraught over the fall of Jerusalem. Many of them had been carried off into exile in Babylon. And Jeremiah is writing here into that very situation. He's sending a letter to the exiles who are living 1,000 miles from home. Where was God in all of this, they must have been asking. Why is he allowing us to suffer like this, they might have been thinking. Why are bad things happening to God's people? And Jeremiah 29 is written to help answer those questions, telling us that God has plans for his people. And they're not to harm his people. In fact, they're the very opposite. Verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. It is one of the most loved verses in all the Bible. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's often quoted. You'll see it on posters, plaques. This is a very plaque-friendly verse. Many Christians commit these words to memory. It's something we share with people who are sick or discouraged, all sorts of difficult situations. One website that gives an analysis of online Bible searches tells us that in 2016, this verse was the second most searched for verse. The second most searched for verse, just after John 3:16. So it's a very precious verse for many people. Rightly so. It contains a wonderful promise, words of great assurance to God's people. But it's a verse that has also been widely misunderstood and even abused as well. And so I must say this morning, these words, they're not for unbelievers. They're not for people who aren't Christians. If you're not a Christian this morning, I'm afraid these words are not for you yet, because they form part of a letter that was sent to God's people. It was sent to God's people. You just can't pluck verses out of the Bible without thinking where they come from, without looking at their context. And it's actually in the context this verse shines the brightest. These are words written to God's people who are off in exile in the land of Babylon. And so it's to those who are in Christ this morning, those who have repented from their sin, believed in Jesus, these are also precious words to you and to me. Because like the people here in Jeremiah's day, to a certain extent, we are also in exile. This is not our ultimate home here. As God's people, this is not our resting place. This is not our final destination. In many ways, we're passing through this life and we're exiles in a foreign land. And so it is a promise for God's people today, just as in Jeremiah's day. So in terms of following on from last week, it certainly ticks that box. And I'm sure you can also appreciate that in terms of taking us forward as a congregation into the next weeks and months, it also ticks that box. Particularly as tomorrow sees the beginning of a new exciting venture in the life of our congregation. The 6 months in front of us have lots of unknowns and uncertainties for all of us. Here's a verse that speaks right into that situation. So notice three things specifically from this one verse this morning. Firstly, God has plans for you. God has plans for you. And isn't that worth noting, first of all? That there is a God, and he has plans for his people. That he has thoughts towards his people. This verse, it doesn't say, I know the plans I have had of you. I once had plans of you. In many respects, that would be good enough. That would be rather nice, knowing that at one time in the past, God had plans for his people. The point here is that he still has plans. He's currently got plans for his people in the here and now. He has present, current, up-to-date plans for his people. His eyes, his hands, they're continually towards his people. And his infinite mind, those thoughts that are as high above our thoughts as the heavens are above the earth, those thoughts are towards you and me. God has plans for you. That's the message Jeremiah is sending to these trembling exiles in the land of Babylon. In their opinion, things couldn't have gone worse. They couldn't have gone worse, in their opinion. They're held captive in a foreign land. Surely God has finished with them, they must have thought. Surely his plans are over. Surely he's abandoned them. God says the very opposite. He says, look, you might be 1,000 miles away from home, but you're forever in my thoughts. You're still my people. I have not forgotten you. I still have plans for you. Isn't that incredible, friends? That God has plans for his people. That he thinks about you. He thinks about you. That might be one of the most important statements you'll ever hear. God thinks about you. The God of the universe, who's sustaining and keeping all things in order. He knows you, and he's remembering you. Never for one second are you out of his thoughts. I just think of how helpful it is when you receive word from a Christian friend, perhaps in your moment of need. You're in a difficult situation, and you maybe get a text or an email or a phone call or a letter. And it's often not precisely what they say that helps you, but it's the fact that they've sent something to you. It's the fact that they're just thinking about you, and that helps, and it encourages you. It helps us when we know others are thinking about us. Here's God thinking about you. Here's God who has plans for you. His thoughts are always drifting your way. Even though he's got the whole universe to rule, he can multitask. And never at any moment does he turn his thoughts away from you. Even as these exiles walked the strange streets of Babylon, and even as they heard a strange language, he was thinking of them. So child of God, this morning, if you're here this morning with trouble in your life and sorrow in your life, you must know that that's come to you in the thoughtful plans of the Lord. And he thinks so much of his people, even the very hairs of their head numbered. Every affliction comes in his plan. And every comfort comes in his plan. Nothing happens to you by fate or chance or luck. All your circumstances come according to his plan. If I said nothing else this morning, you could go on your way rejoicing. God has plans for you. He's thinking of you. The God of the Bible, the great God of love, the God of the covenant, the great majestic, infinite, eternal, unchangeable God, he's got plans for you. He's a purpose for you. And it's a purpose he's working out in the course of this world, and you're included in it. God has plans for you. Secondly, God knows his plans for you. God knows his plans for you. Here we are, the 2nd of July, 2017. Various plans have been made for the months ahead. We can think very obviously of the plans about the whole pulpit exchange being planned for some months, even years now. Some of you are perhaps thinking about your own holiday plans. Some of you, maybe you have important plans with your work situation, your business. Here in the church, there's various plans that are being made. To a certain extent, we know the plans that we make for ourselves. You know the plans that you have for your own life. You know the things that you've set out to do and you've set out that you need to accomplish in the next few days. The purposes you have. You know some of the things that you expect on the horizon. Some of these things you've prepared for and hoped for. You know some of these. But you don't know all the plans he has for you. You don't know the plans he has for you. And you will find the things that influence your life the most are not the plans you make for yourself, but that they're plans that God makes for you. The plans that God makes, they influence your life the most. And they often have a way of cutting across your plans and changing your plans in ways that you couldn't ever predict or imagine. Haven't you discovered that time and time again? Perhaps you have made your own plans for something about which you've dreamt and hoped and purposed and planned. You've plotted the whole thing out, and it all seems so predictable, so secure, so certain. And then just one thing happens. One experience, one phone call, one knock at the door, one word from one person, and all of the plans, they suddenly change. They suddenly change. Because God's sovereign plans, they override all our plans. And in our moments of darkness and doubt, and in our moments of forgetfulness and loneliness, when we're tempted to think, what's God doing? Has he forgotten about me altogether? We need to remember his plans. They override our plans. They override our plans. And today we don't know the plans God has for us tomorrow. We don't know his plans. But you know something? You don't need to know the plans God has for you. You don't need to know God's plans. All you need to know is that God knows his plans. God knows those plans. He has the blueprint of your life mapped out in front of him. He knows the plans for your life. And that's where faith rests. Not that you know what God's doing in your life, but you know that he knows. He knows. Listen to how Spurgeon put it. It's appropriate in terms of travel arrangements as well. The child playing on the deck does not understand the tremendous engine of the stately Atlantic liner. And yet all is safe, for the engineer, the captain, and the pilot are all in their places, and they well know what's being done. They well know what's being done. Let not the child trouble itself about things too great for it. Isn't that helpful? Let not the child trouble itself about things too great for it. We know so very little. We understand so very little. Our perspective is so short-sighted. We have so many questions. This much is clear. God knows. God knows his plans for you. We don't know what those plans are. But God knows, and that's enough for us. That's enough for faith. So God has plans, and he knows his plans for you. Thirdly, God's plans are for your good. God's plans are for your good. It's one thing to know that God has plans for us and that he knows every detail of those plans, that he has this blueprint mapped out. That's a very helpful thing, very reassuring. It's a wonderful thing even. But suppose those plans are to harm us or to destroy us. Well, then that's not a very helpful thing at all. Suppose those plans are to hurt us or to see us collapse in a heap at the end. That's not very helpful. Really, it's not enough to know that God has plans for us. We need to know what those plans are to an extent. We need to know what he's thinking. And this verse tells us. It tells us. Verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And that answers our question, doesn't it? Is God for us or against us? Here we have the answer. All his thoughts, all his plans for you, they're moving to one end, one purpose. Your good. Your ultimate welfare, your future, your heavenly hope, his plans are all shaping towards that end. It's not to say his plans will always give us pleasure or happiness or even satisfaction. Many people wrongly assume that from this verse. They think Jeremiah 29:11. It's like a divine rabbit's foot that will protect us from pain. It'll keep us from suffering as long as I have Jeremiah 29:11. Remember, this verse was given to Jews who were in exile in Babylon. Things were not pleasant for them when they got this verse and this letter. They were in the midst of enormous pain and suffering. But it told them, it reminded them that God was the one who sent them there. God was the one who was thinking about them there. God hadn't forgotten them in Babylon. He was with them in Babylon. He was giving them a future there, and he would one day bring them home from Babylon. God's way of saying, I still love you. I'm still thinking of you. Even though you've blown it time and again, I still have plans for you. And those plans, they're not for evil. They're not to harm, they're not to leave, they're not to abandon you. They're for your welfare. Now this morning, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you really believe there isn't one single item of evil in God's plans for his people? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that whatever God does is for your good? It's for your ultimate best. Because that's what the Bible says. It's what the Bible clearly teaches over and over. I think there's some Christians, and we harbour within us a lingering suspicion that God's out to get us, and that God's out to make us unhappy. And God's making a point here to us. His plans, they're not for our harm. His plans are only for our ultimate good. Even if suffering is in the plans, it's for our ultimate good, our welfare, our heavenly hope. We know, don't we, how these plans worked out for these people. It would be 70 years they would spend in Babylon. The previous verse tells us that, verse 10. 70 years they had to spend in Babylon. Another king would rise up and they would return home to Jerusalem. It would take some time, but God's plans would give them a future and a hope. This is a verse of immense comfort, especially for those of us going through hard, difficult times. Saying that, it's not a magic verse. It's not a magic verse that removes your troubles and wipes away the tears. There's no Bible verse that can take away the pain of this world. But all the time, Jeremiah 29:11, it leads us from the darkness into the light. It leads us from uncertainty to certainty. It leads us from worry to confidence. There's not one of us knows what the next 6 months will bring. But God knows. God knows his plans for each and every one of us. And whatever he's purposed for us in these 6 months, we know that ultimately they are good plans. They are good plans. Plans not to harm us, but plans that will give us a future and a hope. Amen.